flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They're cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Ah, let's do this. I'm excited. I'm literally excited. Because all of the talk for the last few weeks, Grandy, it's about to come to an end.
Woo!
Partially because next Thursday is almost here, but also because you and I have put our heads together. We have figured this out. It is over. We have got, forget all the crap you've been listening to. Even if it's us, forget it. Forget it. We are on the same page.
We kind of came to this decision separately,
well,
kind of.
Except for, I feel like it came full circle. Because my very, very dear friend, John Bloom, who is the voice of the Phoenix Suns, is going to be in this studio in 15 minutes.
Looking forward to it.
He and I just had a high-powered lunch together.
No wonder you're in such a good mood.
Very good mood. And we noshed through everything that's going on behind the scenes with the Phoenix Suns and the Golden State Warriors.
Oh.
And I ate a burger, and he had a tuna melt. And he did the responsible thing and took half of his home. I did the irresponsible
thing.
You
ate it all.
I ate the whole thing, and then I came over to 95.7 The Game and had a bagel topper. Okay? That's how we roll today. So, anyway, I bring that up because he is going to walk in here. And the last time you and I spoke to him, which was at Levi's Stadium, getting ready for the 49ers and Lions to play football against one another,
We
spoke about a specific player. A player John has a bunch of knowledge about, and we loved it then, and we've always loved it, but we kind of put it to the back burner, and it comes back to the front burner today. We are absolutely zeroed in on one specific player. So, Mark Grandy, I want to let you not only unveil who this is, but sort of like the other thing that you laid out today as to why this player means that this season is far from over.
Yeah, I kind of had a turning point in how I'm thinking about the Warriors last night when I was sitting down and trying to figure out what the Warriors should do. And if you've been listening this week, you know that I have very, very, very heavily been on the, you got to make a move. You got to get more talent in here. This team desperately needs an injection of scoring ability. And I've been infatuated with this player ever since trade talks began. Like, you go all the way back to early December, honestly, I think, when I first brought this player up. But I kind of put him to the back burner because then big names kept coming up, like Jimmy Butler, and more recently Zach LaVine, and there was drama about maybe Zion and all these other players. But I have come back full circle, as you said, back to the Brooklyn Nets and back to Cam freaking Johnson. I think he is a dream fit for the Warriors. And what changed for me wasn't a change in how I feel about Cam Johnson. I have always felt he's a perfect fit for the Warriors. He's 6'8". He's a month away from being 29 years old. He's under team control for 2.5 more years at a very reasonable number. You can acquire him without trading away Jonathan Kuminga. I think you can also do it without trading away. You definitely can do it without trading away Andrew Wiggins.
You have to. He makes less than Andrew Wiggins.
Less than Andrew Wiggins. So I think it checks a lot of boxes there. But what kind of clicked for me last night, and I don't know why it was last night, maybe it's just a delayed reaction to what I saw them do against Oklahoma City. This isn't me saying I think what they did against OKC is repeatable. It is not. If you're counting on Pajemski to hit a step back deep two at the end of the shot clock with a hand in his face and Kyle Anderson hitting a fadeaway as the shot clock expires, you're not going to win many basketball games if you have to rely on that. This Warrior team, though, I believe they have a number of really quality pieces. They have pieces that can go together and fit in a larger picture of being a quality, really competitive basketball team in a tough Western Conference. But they're missing one piece. It just happens to be a really, 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 really big and important piece. You acquire Cam Johnson without trading away Wiggins and without trading away Jonathan Kuminga. If it costs you a first-round pick, so be it. If it costs you two first-round picks, I'm still probably doing it. Cam Johnson would immediately fit into this Golden State Warrior rotation, be their number two scorer, can give you 20 points a night. He's averaging 19.4, shooting 42% from downtown, nearly 50% from the field. He's also a good perimeter defender. He can score off of the dribble. He can move without the ball. He can catch and shoot. He can shoot off the dribble. He can do it all, and he's reasonably priced. But the Warriors' issue isn't that they don't have good players. They are asking their players to do more than they're capable of. They're asking Wiggins right now to be their number two. He's not a number two. He's an ideal number three. Cam Johnson allows Wiggins to slide back down to number three. That would then make Jonathan Kuminga your number four scorer, and then Schroeder your number five scorer, and then Buddy Hield and Brandon Pajemski and Moses Moody and everybody else can slide in after that. The Warriors' issue is they got some good players, but they're all asking them to do things a little bit beyond what they're capable of on a consistent basis. You slide Cam Johnson in, everyone else slides down a ring. Oh, and now you might have something now. Now if Wiggins is getting 16 points a game as your number three, Kuminga can chime in with 15 every single night as your number four, and you've still got the backbone of a solid defensive team, I really think this is the move that unlocks everything else for the Warriors, and it would make them a team that is certainly capable to get out of the play-in realm and into an actual postseason series. And if that were to happen, I would not be shocked if they were to at least win a series and be competitive in another one or two.
That's the deal. That's it right there. That's the deal. When I hear that, I don't even want to, I don't even want to listen to anyone else. Why on earth are we letting a couple of articles out there, and no disrespect, because who the hell do, we work for this, they work for that. But I love that we've now decided that Brett Siegel, who nobody even knows who he works for. I don't know Brett. I'm sure he's wonderful, but he wrote an article without even putting names in it. He's like, no, there's a way that you can do this. You can get Zach LaVine without giving up Wiggins or Kuminga. Well, how, Brett? Well, you know, there's other teams, and they'll get involved. Okay, well, which teams? I don't know. Okay, but how? So who would be coming back? Don't know, but they can do it. Great, you're probably right. There's a way to do it.
It is mathematically possible.
It's absurd, sure, though. It's a terrible idea. Zach LaVine is a really good scorer of the basketball.
Well, if you could get LaVine without giving up Wiggins or Kuminga, sure, I'd be interested in doing it. But it's very, 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 very hard to believe that could ever happen.
And you still have to figure out the next 2 years where he's making almost $100 million.
Yes.
And I don't understand how that works. Nobody ever has. Nick Friedell sat in this studio 2 weeks ago and started laughing when we brought up the name Zach LaVine. This all just goes to show you, and I'm no different. I'm one of you. We get sucked in. And by the way, this isn't me sitting here telling you right now the Warriors aren't going to get Zach LaVine. I got no clue what they're about to go do. But I'm out. I'm out on any of these guys that cost $45, $55 million. Jimmy Butler, headaches. Zach LaVine, just around your neck contract. You just said it. That's the guy. And there's two takes baked into what you said. Take one is the one that a lot of you can walk away with, and it's like, oh, okay. Grandy and Willard like Cam Johnson. Sure, that's one take. But the second thing you're saying, which is maybe to me, in a long way, the more interesting take, is you still think that there is some juice in the orange this season.
I have a hard time believing that I actually feel that way, considering
me
the experience
too.
I've had watching this team.
Considering the conversations I've had with you.
Yes. But, okay, how about this? The Golden State Warriors this year, against the six best teams in the NBA, the teams with the six best records,
okay. That's
the Cavs, the Thunder, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Knicks, and the Grizzlies. Warriors are 7-6 against those six teams.
That's bananas.
A winning record.
Say that again.
Against the Cavs, the Thunder, the Celtics, the Rockets, the Knicks, and the Grizzlies. If you don't have the NBA standings in front of you, those are the teams with the six best records this year as of this current moment. The Warriors have a winning record versus those teams at 7-6.
That's kind of wild, isn't it?
How about even further?
It's kind of wild.
The teams with the 10 best point differentials in the NBA. So, How many points are you outscoring your opponents by? It's generally a very good measure of how good a team is. Against the teams with the 10 best point differentials, the Warriors have 11 wins. Only Houston and OKC has more. Only Houston and OKC have more wins than the Warriors do against top 10 point differential teams. So the point is, the Warriors have that ability in them. It's in them. And I feel a little bit like Steve Kerr right now, saying the 12-3 start was not a mirage. I'm not saying that. The Warriors, as currently constructed, when they click and when they fire on all cylinders, they can beat anybody, any team in the NBA. They've beaten the Celtics. They've beaten OKC twice. They've beaten Houston twice. They've beaten Memphis twice. They can beat anybody in the NBA when they play as well as they do. But like we were talking about yesterday, when it all clicks together, like against OKC, it looks great and they get the win. It just, given their roster and their rotation, it's like you're hoping and praying on any given night it's going to happen. And it doesn't happen that often.
It's not consistent.
But an injection
enough
of one player, I really think, can change this whole feeling.
Chris Mannix on the Ryan Russillo podcast via The Ringer on Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson, I would guess, will ultimately get moved. I think the asking price is pretty high right now. Multiple first round picks from what I've heard for Cam Johnson. Does that come down when the Nets, who have just no interest in being remotely good right now before February 6th, maybe?
I don't even know why they want to give him up. As you just said, he's 28 years old. He makes between, over the next couple of years, $20 to $22 million.
Yep.
That's it. Team control for two more years after this one. You're keeping Wiggins. You're keeping Jonathan Kuminga. You can get this done. All Brooklyn wants is expiring deals and picks. And so you could get this done for something along the lines of your expiring deals, which is Kevon Looney, GP2, maybe you throw in one other player there, whether that's a Kyle Anderson or a smaller deal like a Trace Jackson Davis, and are you willing to give up one or even two first-round picks? And I know that for many of you, that's where you leave the station. I stay, and I think so do you.
Yep.
I would do that because at least one of those picks is going to be way into the future, and it is replenishable, especially if you have a player like Cam Johnson in his 20s who's not making that much money. Jonathan Kuminga, in theory, you'll still have him for $25, $30, I don't know, $1 million. Once you sign that extension, you will have assets where you can replenish picks if things go sideways. But that deal, and I already see people asking, wait a minute, Wiggins and Cam Johnson play the same position. Cam Johnson is a complete Swiss Army knife on the wing. 2, 3, 4, all good. Moses Moody said last week the difference between 2 and 4 in the NBA right now is essentially nothing. Wiggins is your 2. Johnson can be your 3. Kuminga can be your 4. Draymond's your 5. To go with Steph, there's your starting or closing lineup. And then you're sprinkling in all of the other pieces from Dennis Schroeder as the backup point guard, or Quentin Post when you want to stretch 5, or whatever. Buddy Hield when you need a knockdown 3. All of that is still there. That's a team to me that can play. And I am doing that deal today.
Also, I would not be surprised if the Nets' expected asking price is 2 second-round picks or 2 first-round picks. They settle for 1.
They might settle for 1.
Because they get introduced to the world of the new CBA, and they realize other teams are going to call their bluff and say, you want expiring contracts? We're giving you that. We'll give you just 1 first-round pick.
Okay, so with all this going on, the Suns do feel a little bit like the linchpin because of the Butler stuff, the Bradley Beal stuff. There's even people saying, hey, maybe the Suns now go the other way. Are they willing to deal Kevin Durant? I'm not kidding. This is being talked about, and they're in town. And their voice is going to be in this room coming up in just a moment. Knockout tournament, another space to join us on the Chase Center court is given away today in the 4 o'clock hour. That's when we'll give you the keyword. That's all you need to know right now. 4 o'clock, keyword. Okay, but we're going to talk all of this out, take your calls. Do you still see a path to something productive this year? Is there juice in the orange this year? 888-957-9570. We take your calls. The voice of the Suns, John Bloom, joins us next. Grandy's in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs.
Curry will drain it to half court. Curry drifting left to two defenders. Throws up a one-hander, and it went in! It went in! Fading left, right-hand runner. Curry with a bucket. How did he do that? Trip by Kuminga. Waters has it. Pass to Kuminga. Reaches back and gets it. It glides home. Two-hand slam. Jonathan Kuminga. 100-95. Credit Waters with a nice lead pass.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hell of a game, hell of a show. Last time these two teams met on December 28th. And I remember that night very, very well. It was a good watch. And so will we see something like that again?
Curry behind the back buzzer beater?
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, man.
That was like the most classic Curry type thing ever. Like, it just didn't even make any sense. And it goes in. And so here we go again. But this time, where are we? What's the math? 6 days until the trade deadline. Yep. And both of these teams are absolutely at the center of it all. So, River Island's guest line, right here in the room with us, my very good friend. He comes on with us every time he can. The voice of the Phoenix Suns, John Bloom, who's going to tell us exactly what you need, what the Suns need to leave Kevin Durant here and go to Portland tonight without him.
Ooh.
What's the deal? What are you offering?
For him to actually put a Warriors uniform back on?
Stay.
We need all of it.
What's it?
Steve Kerr.
Stop.
Yeah, maybe even you.
We need all of it. Yeah, we'll take everything.
I could part with him. I'll part
sourdough,
with him for sure.
For sure. I'm taking all the sourdough. I would like all of it. I had a little bit of it last night at Tadish's, the classic
spot. Grill.
Dude, I have not been there probably since I was a little kid.
Same.
I don't think it's changed at all, which is crazy.
That's phenomenal.
It also still holds up. So if you're telling your friends who come from out of town, that's still a staple to tell people to go. And love to plant Stevie Nicks on the way back in. You know, the Phoenix native. That's a little vibe for the Suns tonight, I think. I think you guys need to watch out with a little Fleetwood Mac / Stevie on the way in out of break, throwing the Suns vibes.
I think you're the only one in the room who knows where Stevie Nicks is from.
Right?
That's,
but I'm supposed
to. That's why.
Yeah, that's part of the gig. When you live in the Valley of the Sun for over 20 years, you got to know that stuff.
John Bloom, voice of the Suns. There's obviously a lot going on here. So, I don't even know kind of where to start. I don't know what they're about to do. I know you don't know what they're about to do. But what is your sense of just Phoenix Suns basketball right now, which I think is disappointing record-wise for sure? And what is their appetite to get involved at a high level right now at this trade deadline?
It's just so crazy, Will, because it's so up and down. And Mark, you probably know this covering the Warriors, because I feel like there is actually now some similarities to how these two fan bases are feeling a little bit. Now, the difference is four titles, and that's a big freaking difference when you talk to Suns fans. They've got zero, never tasted that. So that's why you can't possibly have the same mindset. As far as the teams are concerned, though, I'm just going to talk where I come from and focus on the Phoenix Suns. 24-22 is not good enough with this roster. Now, with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, I think they're 22-9 now. When those two guys play, 22-9, that's a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
But 24-22 is kind of, you know, it's basically right where the Warriors are. They have had a lot of games missed. I mean, we just played the Timberwolves, and I was looking at their top seven. Six of their top seven had played in all 46 of their games.
Wow.
The other guy was 42, right? I mean, that's continuity. You are already set up for success at a different level when you have just the same group of dudes suiting up every night, knowing where they're supposed to be and playing that role. We have not really established that in a couple years now. If you take a look at the Phoenix Suns, they've just been consistently searching for groups, the right groups. Groups that work together, chemistry, organization, all this stuff has been missing. And you can point to Chris Paul's, you know, leaving and losing some of those things, which you guys saw a little bit of during his time here. But I know you know kind of what he did to Phoenix when he was there and the impact he had. And you can point to coaching. And so it's right now, I think a lot of people are wondering, is there even a fix? Can they go get players at the deadline that can actually fix what we're watching?
Well, you talk about how this group hasn't even had a lot of time to gel because of all the injuries. Now there seems to be, at least from the outside, motivation to add to the group and change the group up entirely. And the biggest name, of course, is Jimmy Butler. Seems like he at least has interest to be a Phoenix Sun. But there's a major roadblock because you need to clear all the salary to welcome Jimmy Butler in. And you got Bradley Beal, who's got a no-trade clause. That's got to be a big roadblock in all of this. What is, do you know the Suns' motivation to try to acquire someone like Jimmy Butler? Is it more Jimmy interested in the Suns, or do you think it goes both ways?
I think there is a little bit of both ways. I think the fulcrum might have turned or kind of, you know, the scales tipped a little bit one way, and maybe Jimmy wants him a little bit more than they want him based on all the acting out. I mean, it's hard to take on a guy that's basically setting fire to another organization. He's already done it to previous organizations, and now you want to sign up for that next? Because, you know, when a person shows you who they are, believe them. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's kind of showed us who he is. Now, there's that tantalizing part of Jimmy Buckets.
It also showed us the kind of player he is.
Jimmy. Yeah. If you want, you want to go all in for that. You saw what he did leading the Heat to two finals and Eastern Conference finals, it seemed like, every other year, if not more, while he was there. So there's that, and I get why there would be interest in the Phoenix Suns, because he brings a different element that they have. When teams get physical with the Suns, when teams push the Suns around, the Suns have not had the necessary response. Mm. Jimmy Butler can help with that, right? Yep. I mean, that's kind of his forte. He doesn't put up with stuff.
We've had, you know, a number of years where this has been kind of a tag on the Suns. Is you know, they'll let you push them around a little bit, and then they'll be off their game. And I don't know if there's a guy you can, even if it's Jimmy Butler, that you could bring him in, and all of a sudden that's going to change if you still have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and the rest of the guys that are on this squad. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. I don't think they're going to stand pat. That's one thing I'm pretty confident.
I feel the same way about the Warriors. Yeah. I do. And I don't think that the Suns and Warriors are likely to be any sort of a match, except for if I really zoom out and look at this from 10,000 feet, like, I don't really what is the Suns' long-term goal here? And I know maybe long-term is the wrong word, because the players that, like, Kevin Durant is not a long-term player, neither is Bradley Beal, and neither is Jimmy Butler if he were to end up there. But going back to last year, going into the offseason, I looked at that, like, there were a couple weeks where I sat here on this show and went, the Warriors need to go get Kevin Durant, because the Suns, they had to do something. Those three contracts, it wasn't going to add up. And I was very surprised that they were like, they doubled down on it. They're like, nope, we're doing it again. And now here we are, which is 24 and 22. And I'm like, that, see, it blew up in your face again. Like, let me ask it this way. How long is Kevin Durant for the Suns?
Yeah, that's what I'm racking my brain on right now, because I think if you are even thinking about the possibility of trading KD, then I would think that now would be the time to do it, because his value isn't going to get higher than it is right now. At least I feel somewhat confident saying that, since he's 36. He's averaging over 27 a game, fifth best in the NBA, shooting at high efficiency clips, playing 40 minutes a lot of nights, still doing it at all levels that he's been doing it since you guys remember him being an MVP. So why would I think that they should trade him? I don't. But if you are considering rebooting, that's probably the best way to do it. You're going to get more for Kevin Durant than anybody else, obviously. Even though Devin Booker's only 28, I don't think they're even considering trading right. Devin Booker, because he means so much to the Valley and the community, and he's got the long-term deal, and I think that they've committed to that, but I have no idea. They don't run any of these things by me. This is starting to feel, though, a little bit like Kevin Durant with Brooklyn, where you looked at, like, this collection and this talent, and you said, they should be so much better. They should win, and they never did. And then, obviously, COVID came, and everything with Kyrie was quirky. But I think with the Suns, I just am perplexed at why they're not better, because we talked about it last year, and you were talking about, well, maybe they need to trade Kevin Durant then. I agree, but then you get Tyus Jones to sign a $3 million deal.
I know.
A guy who's a legitimate point guard.
That was the guy.
That's the
they
kind
needed.
Of stuff yep. that you needed to do in order to make it work with these three massive deals, and yet it's still not working.
Are you saying that there is even a snowball's chance that we hear Kevin Durant's name going somewhere in the next 6 days?
I mean, I obviously I can't sit here and say there's no chance. I would still be surprised if they moved him. But, you know, again, I think that there's so much being considered right now. You're talking about the future. And I think with our owner, Matt Ishbia, he's made it clear that the future is now, that he's going to do everything he can to win now. He wants to contend now. And he's going to try to keep this a contender as long as possible. He's not looking to rebuild. He's not looking to reset. And I can't imagine that that's changed, even through a lot of frustrating nights, watching him sit there, you know, with the best seat in the house, sitting courtside, watching this group as a former player. You know, he's got to be thinking to himself, you know, he played for Tom Izzo. He was on the end of the bench as a walk-on at Michigan State. But he played, you know, for Big Ten basketball when Michigan State was contending for championships. So it wasn't just the fact that he was part of that. He was part of that during a really intense time. I was there, too, covering that team in my first job in Detroit. So I learned a lot about hoops through that experience, and I know he did as well. And he thought about being a coach. Then he went and made billions and made the right call. Now he owns the team, and he's figuring out his role. And I know you guys have seen what's happened with the Warriors ownership. When they took over and they made the moves that they made and then championships came, they were lauded and applauded across not just the NBA but all of sports as this kind of revolutionary ownership group, right? And I think that Matt had aspirations of doing similar things, but it's proven to all of us that have watched this how difficult it is to put together a winning team in the NBA. It's not just about collecting talent. You got to grow a team. Like, this is a basketball sport that takes five guys working together, right? And yeah. I've learned that more than anything the last couple years.
Well, you and all Suns fans doing owner watch on the sidelines during games, that's what every Warrior fan is doing for Joe Lacob as well. And you can tell that he's getting pretty frustrated. As it comes to the Suns, though, they did make a trade earlier in this trade season, sending out a first-round pick and getting, what, two or three first-round picks back in return, kind of loading up the war chest? I mean, that's not something that they're going to want to sit on, because you just said the future is now, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's Jimmy Butler or not, you feel like some of those first round picks might be heading out this trade deadline.
And they might have to use one or two just to get rid of a contract, which is such a weird thing to think about, right? When you're going to trade a future draft pick because you've got a guy that's sitting on the bench that's not playing up to the level that you're paying him. And maybe what it does is it opens up an opportunity for a roster spot. You can get somebody in that can contribute. Now, I mentioned Tyus Jones. The other guy I wanted to bring up, he also got some love today because he's a replacement on the Rising Stars game at All-Stars, the rookie Ryan Dunn. They got him in a draft day deal, but he was taken in the 20s from Virginia. He's actually turned out to be a really good player. Like, this is a player that can have a long NBA career, and the Suns haven't had a lot of rookies like this recently. I mean, you have to go back to probably Cam Johnson, and Will and I were talking about Cam again at lunch because I know that topic has come up here in the Bay about
get back to that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so I think, you know, the fact that they have these things coming along again, it's just another like item on this list of that makes us all wonder, why are they not better than two games over 500?
We're talking with John Bloom, the voice of the Phoenix Suns, Suns and Warriors tonight, right here on 95.7 The Game. Willard and Dibs, and Grandy's in for Dibs. And if you're listening off the top of the show, Grandy pretty much put together almost a PowerPoint presentation on how the Warriors are still at least maybe just one player away from at least getting into some sort of, not championship contention, but being into much more of a playoff mix this year. We both still believe that that's possible. It absolutely has to be the right move of everything we're hearing about. I'm a big fan of the moves that we're not hearing about, because I think that's what teams are actually working on. When we hear about it constantly, that just says to me that everybody's trying to leverage each other. That's why, like, I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to end up on your team, because it's just too complex. And we've been hearing Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler. And now this week, it's Zach LaVine, Zach LaVine, Zach LaVine. Who the hell's trying to leverage who here? And why is this all on Twitter? I believe Mike Dunleavy is on the phone talking about other people. My hope is that, and it is Grandy's hope, is that it is Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets. Used to play for the Suns. Tell our audience about Cam Johnson, the player, the person.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, like, if you look at the hierarchy of, like, what Suns fans would say, who they love the most right now, Booker definitely takes the top spot, but not far behind are two dudes that aren't even on the team anymore, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. Now, Bridges is playing for the Knicks at a high level. They're not giving him up, obviously. No. But Cam Johnson is a phenomenal basketball player, a phenomenal person, and would be amazing on the Warriors. I don't want to see him come here, I'll tell you that. As a Suns guy, there's no way I would want to see Cam Johnson playing with Steph Curry and company, but I think he would fit like a glove, and I do know that the Brooklyn Nets are, you know, looking to reset. They are trying to do everything they can to, you know, start over, seemingly. So, you know, that seems like one of those deals, you're right, Will, that it could be a sneaky one that we're just not hearing news about, but could be in the works. And again, I got to know Cam a lot because his little brother was at high school with my daughter. And just, I will warn the folks here. Was that like a name drop?
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah. If anybody,
nice.
If you say anything, yeah. Like, I get it every time I say that you're coming on.
That's one?
Because I'm like, it's not just
my childhood friend,
yeah,
voice of the
like
Suns. That's a big
son.
Deal.
But I'm like, he's like my very good friend. And yeah, it's like, oh, you're special.
Yeah, there you go.
That's so
cool.
So, nice. So the fact
I'm going to make that my ringtone.
Yeah, so the fact that you didn't just broadcast for a team for which Cam played,
yeah,
but the fact that you'd like run into him
got
at school.
Got to hang a little bit.
Yeah, like
and
you're
get
like,
to know each other a
in
little
other
bit.
Words, I know Cam Johnson.
He's awesome. I get the hugs,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, when
wow.
while we were just in
dap
Brooklyn. I got the brotherhood.
You got to dap
yeah,
him
it was
up.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway.
Yeah.
The guy can shoot lights out.
Yes,
he's sneaky, athletic.
40% career three-point shooter.
And that's not going to – he'll go up from there.
He's
going to be open next to Steph.
42 this year.
Ridiculous. Yeah, he's shooting with the Nets. Come on. He's coming here. He's going to be wide open. But he can sneak a jam on your face. Like, you won't expect it. He's wearing, like, a T-shirt under his jersey. He's got that mentality. And you're like, no, he's nice. He's just a nice – no, and he's going to just throw one in your mug, and you'll lose it. You'll lose it because you're thinking of him as a 3-and-D guy and a guy on the wing, and he'll do that. So he has that sneaky athleticism. The one thing I'll say to the folks in the Bay to just prepare yourself, if you're lucky enough to get to know Cam Johnson as a member of the Warriors, if they pull this deal off, the deal that we don't even know.
Yeah, we're making this up.
Yeah, it's completely a figment of all of our imagination.
Willing it into reality.
Steph is probably on his way to the arena right now. What up, Chef? He, of course, a week and a half ago was like, can you all put your stupid trade machine away and let us figure this out? And so every time it's a game day about this time, I shout out, like, sorry, no, we're not going
to
put the trade machine away.
We're trying to help you, Steph.
So, like, when you say this deal, yes, this is just a figment of our imagination.
That's all it is right now.
But you know, we're hoping.
But I wanted to warn everybody that he's like a diehard Rams fan.
Oh!
That's the one kind
of
like...
That's all right. Steve Kerr is a diehard Dodger fan.
See, and you put up with it because titles.
Yes.
Yeah, so we love you, Steve.
Yeah.
Steve's amazing,
Steve's
by the way.
Steve's the best.
But I do think that what's great about it is he kind of is really passionate. He wears all this stuff. Like, he and Mikal had this bet because Mikal Bridges was an Eagles fan. They played each other in the NFC title game, right? And the loser had to have a lemonade stand in downtown Phoenix. And Cam did it. Like, he did the full lemonade stand. It became like a big, like, you know, photo op and video op and stuff. But
That's
it was
awesome.
Cool as heck. So many Suns fans, hundreds and hundreds, probably thousands, are lining streets to get a cup of lemonade from Cam Johnson to pay off a bet. That's the cool kind of stuff that he does. And just, I think that's the kind of stuff that fans love, just getting to know these dudes outside of their hooping.
Why is he a Rams fan?
It's a great question. I remember
he's from
we got
Moon Township,
Pennsylvania. Yeah. We got into it with him and got the whole explanation, and for some reason slipping my brain. Now, there was a reason.
Somebody's dad's uncle.
Here's one that it's foggy, but I think it might be connected to he fell in love with playing with the Rams on Madden when it was the greatest show on turf.
Oh.
Do you respect that as a game, like a gamer generation coming up?
I grew up,
could root for a team based on team they played on the game?
I grew up with a guy who is a Bay Area guy and a diehard Giants fan, diehard 49ers fan, but because his parents went to Cal and both Kevin Johnson and Jason Kidd ended up on the Suns, this guy just decided to shine the Warriors.
That's so weird.
And be a diehard Suns fan.
Did you completely like excommunicate with this dude and get like take him out of your life?
Sitting right next to me right now. So, yeah, sure, I'll respect it. Do you. Whatever the hell weird reason you want to root
for. It wasn't a video game. I got to meet the human being in person, and he treated me great, even though I was a pudgy, no-talent-having, wishful point guard, all right?
I remember you running around at Whale Park in that oversized KJ jersey.
Yep, and you remember the dimes I was dropping on you, too. You remember the no-looks that you were ready for because they were coming at your face.
I can shoot.
You could shoot, and I could pass.
Yeah. Neither one of us could jump.
Nope.
Anyway, go ahead, Grandy.
I like this little banter going back and forth.
I have very athletic hands, Grandy. I don't know if you knew that about me.
I did not know that, but I do now. I want you to tell me a little bit more about Cam Johnson, because I'm going to spend the next few hours trying to convince all of our listeners that he's an awesome basketball player and more than just a 3-and-D guy. I mean, he can dribble a little bit. He can get to the paint. You mentioned the athleticism that he can dunk, but this is also a guy who can break you down off the dribble, attack closeouts. He moves without the ball. He can shoot both off the dribble and catch and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can do a lot of different things on offense.
Yeah, and you didn't even like touch on his brain, which is probably his best attribute.
The Warriors and Steve Kerr love.
They enjoy that, the brains of basketball, and they take advantage of it probably more than any other unit. So, yeah, that's why I think it's such a fit and a dangerous one at that, and I don't want to see it. Did I mention that earlier? I don't want to see it.
Might be the best endorsement you could possibly give him.
Exactly.
Seriously.
Yeah, they can get him. But, you know, the one nice thing would be I'd see him more often. than I would when good he's point. In Brooklyn
there
Nets.
Go.
You know?
There you go.
So that's good. And I think the Suns would not feel the same. They want to see him more often on the other side. But yeah, there's so much respect there. Another thing that was a red flag, maybe why he dropped a little bit stock-wise in the draft, was not only because he played longer than most dudes, and it seems like everybody wants to take the 19-year-old. We know that whole story in the draft. But the other thing was he did have some injuries, and both knees had issues. And he's had, you know, a couple, you know, back and hip and stuff like that. But I think he's going to check out. And I think that, you know, you look at the way he's playing. You mentioned his efficiency, Will. It's on the way up. Yep. And that's with a bad team. So if you put him on a good team, I just think it'd be even more efficient.
Who's winning the game tonight?
Suns, you played Fleetwood Mac coming out of the break.
I know, but
that's on you guys.
No, Lucas,
Lucas.
But you just
failed.
Got through talking
Stevie
about
Nicks
how disappointing
the
they've
vibe.
Been.
Yeah. I know they have been.
Yeah. They've been better lately, though.
They have. They won
8-3 in your last 11.
Yeah, and they were cooking. They beat the Clippers. That was probably the most impressive of the victories. They're still trying to put 48 minutes together, so maybe they'd be in favor of Adam Silver's idea of the 40-minute
10-minute, 10-minute quarters.
Maybe that would help the Phoenix Suns.
Would your salary go down?
Probably, if I'm getting paid by the minute. Fortunately, they haven't started that.
Okay.
Yet.
They'll think of it for sure. Love seeing you, bud. Have a great call tonight.
Well, thank you. I'm going to do my best. It's great to see you and to see all the folks here in the Bay and even the cold and rain. I'm okay with it because I know I'm leaving. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to more of it in Portland, and then I'll get to go back to the desert.
And happy early 50th birthday, and thank you for calling on mine last week.
I'm still in my 40s for another couple weeks.
2 weeks.
Yeah, I got
actually,
two more weeks.
13 days.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. That's John Bloom, voice of the Suns. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're going to lay this out in a little bit more detail coming up next. Also, knockout tournament, the qualifier is just about an hour away. Stay right where you are. Grandy in for Dibs on Willard and Dibs.